Greetings, everyone. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love for the 15th day of June, 2013. It's a gorgeous day here in Montana with clear blue skies after a couple of weeks of overcast and rain. And today the cosmic weather is interesting. I usually don't go into the astrology, but as above, so below, the kingdom of heaven is within us, and anyone who has seriously studied their astrology and the astrology of family and friends knows that there's an uncanny correspondence between psychology and astrology. So I don't do this very often, but today I pulled up the astrology like I do every day, and I study the geometry of aspects between planets that set the energetic matrix for the quantum field of cosmic weather here on Earth. Today it was quite amazing. I thought I'd mention it. It's just a combination of a powerful mystic rectangle, two T-squares, several yods called fingers of God. Some people know what that is. Most people don't. I thought I'd just mention it, just to give kind of a cosmic perspective for cosmic love today. Don't usually do this, like I say, but what the heck? It's really interesting. If you want to get a sense of, there are energetic fields, fields within fields. They're blending in different ways. The planets are step-down generators, you might say, for the energies of our solar system and our galaxy. And there are deep space energies coming in, the 12 signs of the zodiac, et cetera, et cetera. Some people who have got into this we'll find it interesting that there's this amazing mystic rectangle today with the moon, opposition, Neptune and Chiron, and Mercury and Venus are opposition Pluto. And so that forms a cross in a rectangle with the moon and Venus sextile and Pluto and Neptune sextile. So there's an interesting geometry there that basically contains or coalesces energies in very unique ways. This does affect everyone's holodeck, you might say the quantum field between their ears, in interesting ways. So I thought I'd mention this, kind of a cosmic perspective. This is where I'm coming from. I look at it daily. I adjudicate a lot of the sending of my emails and postings, sometimes according to the weather. And to determine whether people are going to get it or not, it helps. It's always a factor. So there's this mystic rectangle going on. There's a mutable T-square with, again, moon opposition, Neptune. And it's resolved, you might say, this opposition with two squares focusing on Mars in Gemini. And that has to do with highly energetic focus, you might say, with the mental body. And so I hope that works for you today as you listen to the show. There's also a T-square between Venus and Pluto, with the focus being Uranus in Aries. And that focus, again, that takes the opposition and resolves it between Pluto and Venus, with this focus with Uranus, which is kind of like the, you might say, the spiritual revolutionary or the energies of kind of a very quicksilver mind, where you can grasp abstract concepts, new ideas, innovative ideas. And it's in Aries, which gives it a lot of energy. So I can hope that works for you today. There's also very interesting finger of God. It's called a yod. That focus, with the focus on Saturn in Scorpio, which tends to make abstract concepts very congruent. You might say Scorpio is very deep penetrating insight, and that yod pattern is actually a sextile between Mars and Uranus, and that sextile points at Saturn with two in conjuncts. So you got a geometry like a finger or a pointing at this focus of Saturn and Scorpio, and that's kind of an interesting aspect as far as taking these energies of the mental body and the Aries, you know, which is cardinal fire energy, and with a focus in Scorpio, which can be higher than the equal flying into the sun or lower than the belly of a snake. So I hope it works for you in terms of a higher vision in a very congruent way, which is Saturn. I hope that works for you today. I usually don't get this many aspects that are very congruent in one day. So it's kind of interesting. I thought I'd mention it today. There's one other finger of God, or Yod, it's called, that's got Saturn and Pluto in sextile, and it's pointing to Mars in Gemini, which is, again, very intense, assertive. Mars, energetic energies in Gemini, which is feeds into, you might say, the mental body. Gemini is sometimes referred to in the higher aspects as the mind of God. So I hope that, it works for you. For as far as cosmic love, cosmic energy, cosmic consciousness, a little bit of a cosmic flavor to the show today. So I'm going to go into this now. What I was going to talk about today is there's a linked article up on the Cosmic Love webpage that you can click on and read as you go along. We'll provide this also in the archives with this show. So for those who are listening in the future, you know, as there is no time or space with this internet technology and the archives. So if anyone's listening in the future, you can click on that article, you know, where it references more information in the archives. And you can read this information as I go into it. And so the subject today is Montana Musings and Soul Soaring in Paradise. And there's a picture of Montana up there on the website that comes up. And this is actually a view out from the back of my office. I shot this picture, just walked to the back of my office, out of the hillside, and shot across the valley to the snow-capped mountains, the Yellowstone River running through down to the middle of Paradise Valley there. This is the river that flows out of Yellowstone Park about half an hour away. And you can get a little bit of a vision of my world. You know, this is where I'm coming from. So Montana Musings is what I'm doing today. This is kind of a local perspective on common sense solutions for global problems. I like to, take it from the top, but being grounded here and living here and the culture here is a good perspective for soul soaring. So it's June here in Montana. Prairie dogs are scrambling as eagles and hawks feast after a long winter of slim pickings. Ranchers are scrambling to irrigate their fields and make hay while the snow melt fills the irrigation ditches. Here in Paradise Valley, tourists are also busy cruising down to the north gate of Yellowstone Park. And after weeks of overcast skies and much-needed rains, there's beautiful blue sky that's returned with lush green hills that another month the sun will be burning brown here in late July. It's a cycle we go through every year here, a very brief window, a small window of heaven on earth here in Paradise. At this time, it's just gorgeous here. And for some of us, like the eagles, it's a good time for soul soaring. So this is my what I'll be discussing, soul soaring in paradise. And I'm going to do a flying leap here into the big picture. I kind of referenced this in the last show, a little bit on soul soaring. But I thought I'd go into it in more depth because this is a global issue and we must think globally in these times. And one of the ways to do this is to understand exquisite metaphors for conscious evolution, what's going on with the accelerated conscious evolution on the planet. And quite often I use the computer metaphor for conscious evolution. It's especially appropriate for our times with the computer internet revolution. Different metaphors provide different parallels, or parables, as they're sometimes referred to, that have more profound meanings in their respective times. For example, the Piscean master, Jesus used agricultural parables back in the 2000 in the agricultural age. And here in the valley, we see a lot of the agricultural age you know, momentums. I mean, it's, we're still growing crops here. We're raising cattle. There's a lot of ranching and growing hay and crops in the valley, mostly hay here in the valley for cattle. And just as Jesus used, taught the Eastern concept of karma in terms of how we reap what we sow, you know, an agricultural metaphor, you know, the thrashing floor of life, he referred to how we separate, you know, this is a process of separating the wheat from the chaff, etc. And as a parable, of course, it has deeper meaning. You know, for that time, it was a way to speak metaphorically for the law of karma in terms that people in the Middle East could hear. And even today, you know, we all understand how, you know, we reap what we sow. But, of course, now we live in an internet age that, that instead of separating the wheat from the chaff, it's more like a metaphor of separating the connected from the disconnected, the natural world from the virtual world of instant everywhere and interactive internet capabilities. I mean, it's like we live in a global village now. There's no time or space. It's like we're all connected in a real-time, instant, everywhere, interactive way with the internet. So this is the nature of humanity's evolution seen in the rapid development of information technologies in our time. And I'm going to go through this metaphor, parallel, parable in more detail. For example, witness how the computer internet revolution has changed our perceptions like an extension of the brain, just as clothes are an extension of the skin. And if you think about it, you know, the industrial age gave us automobiles, which became the extensions of our feet. You know, cars are like an extension of the feet. Radio became an extension of our eyes. Motion pictures and then talking movies and then TV became extensions of our eyes and our ears. Now personal computers are like extensions of our individual brains. Whether you're talking about palm top smartphones or laptop tablets or desktop computers, you know, this is Montana Musings, for those that might have tuned in later to the show. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love, June 15th, 2013. And I'm going into the musings of the accelerated rate of change of technology and conscious evolution. And I've been talking about how here we are now with personal computers, like extensions of our individual brains, whether with palm-top smartphones or laptop tablets or iPads or desktop computers. It's an amazing thing. It's like the world is wired now. All over the world, you have people connecting with these technologies, and it's a global village. In just 33 years, this has happened, whereby global civilization has changed from the mainframe computer corporate culture that was dominated by IBM's hardware, you know, just 33 years ago. And then that morphed into the home business revolution, an economic boom with the desktop computer revolution that was dominated by Microsoft's software. And then that morphed into the global network of computers we call the internet that was dominated first by Netscape's NetWare. So we've seen this evolution from hardware emphasis to software emphasis, the netware emphasis with the internet when the computer became the network of computers. Now, the parallel here is to individual brain cells, you know, like the personal computer. And just as, you know, the parallel is to individual brain cells that grow communication networks with other brain cells in an instant, everywhere, interactive, global brain. But without a brain without a heart is half-witted. So knowledge power is only as good as the social conscience it represents in social networks. And this is the concept of global evolution and technological evolution has basically connected us all in a way in an intellectual way that is to this point, you know, the network, the computers become the network, but the network doesn't have a heart yet. So the next phase in the computer internet revolution, after hardware, software, and network, is what I call naturally heartware, as I explained in the recent article on quantum computing. Now, I've linked that article, quantum computing, in the copy on the Cosmic Love homepage. Did you read this article? This was an article for the last show here a couple weeks ago on Cosmic Love. I went into this understanding of quantum computing, and it might have been a little abstract for some of you. For most people in general, not necessarily people that listen to this show, but for most people, explaining quantum computing is and what's going on with hardware is like trying to explain the full implications of the internet before the internet. And normalcy bias, then, is a concept that some of you are familiar with. I've talked about it a lot, you know, and it's like paradigm paralysis that struggles with new concepts and new conceptual frameworks of an in-depth nature. Normalcy bias, you know, resists change. What's the way things are, and people accept it as normal. And things that are different seem abstract and weird. So new paradigms typically just don't compute until we can see it and use it and experience how, in this case, how hardware would work. The difference now is that the veil, when I say the veil is thinning, and I've explained this to numerous shows and links as I provide here, what's going on with galactic alignment and surge in the quantum field, the unified source field. And anyone can understand this, that energetically the whole field is changing with, you know, the alignment of, you know, billions of stars in the galactic plane of our galaxy, which is like in a pancake that our solar system orbits up and across every 25,920 years, and we're right in that nexus now with alignment. And there's, just like with astrology, psychology, when there's an alignment, there's a merger of those energies, and we're talking about energies of hundreds of billions of stars, all in alignment with the great central sun at the center of our galaxy. I mean, we're talking about huge amounts of quantum energy that's causing a surge in the field, the quantum field here on Earth, and it's affecting consciousness. It's accelerating the rate of change. I mean, if you just take the last 20 years, as our solar system has orbited up and across into alignment with this galactic plane, look at the rate of change on Earth. With conscious evolution, technological evolution, it's like an exponential rate of change. And the knowledge explosion, the knowledge revolution, it's just like an exponential factors of, I mean, it's just, you know, you can get into how much the rate of information growth, new information, new discoveries, and of course this kind of boggles the mind with information overload, and a lot of people are suffering from that. But we're talking about where this is going, what the full implications of this are as far as conscious evolution, and how hardware, the vision alone of hardware. At this time, where a lot of people are waking up with all kinds of gifts of the Holy Spirit, including discernment, where they can discern between the lines and connect the dots and get the picture of what's really going on. So the vision alone of hardware, as I provide, I'm going to go into a little bit more now, but specifically this article on quantum computing, the recent article I did, that a lot of people can get that now. It's really not rocket science. I provide links to go into detail to explain different aspects of it. And we're really talking about how the vision alone of hardware can be the catalyst for a self-fulfilling prophecy, to culture heart coherence. Heart coherence, heart math is developed that concept. It was pioneered by Dan Winter, who I had on Cosmic Love here a few months ago. And in that presentation, the article on quantum computing, there's a video embedded in that article by Dan Winter explaining how heart coherence works with now with an application you can get for the iPhone or the iPad. And it actually shows when you're in the frequency of holy compassion. Based on a biofeedback interface, you know, that registers your voice wave frequencies as resonates with your heart frequency, as resonates with your heartbeat, and all this sophisticated biofeedback energy is processed with a standard, which is like a golden ratio algorithm of your heart rhythm. So basically, when you're in the frequency of holy compassion, you know the language of our better nature, the language of the angels, you know, the frequencies of the heart that are really the heart of effective sensory perception. You know, it's, ESP is really effective sensory perception. There's nothing extra about it when you've got it. And this is the gold standard for the currency of conscience. We're talking about the next economy that's based on the currency of conscience that resolves all our social, political, and economic problems because it gets to the root of the problem. It resolves the crisis in consciousness with, at the very heart of it, is heart coherence. So the understanding of this is a key part of heart, where is this heart coherence? Pioneered by Dan Winter, applications now for smartphones, iPads, all this infrastructure that's installed and operational all over the world now. All of a sudden, we have the opportunity now with HeartWare to involve and evolve our individual and collective conscience, the currency of conscience, as never before in history. You know, perhaps the most creative, practical genius of the 20th century was Nikola Tesla, who not only created the alternating current that powers our homes and radio that extends our ears, but also wireless free energy technology that has been suppressed since the early 1900s. Tesla had the ability to see things working in great detail in his mind before he created them. And perhaps you can do that also as you read quantum computing. That article is linked in the copy that's right at the top of, my article or my introduction to the show today on the Cosmic Love homepage. So I know I'm raising the flag with HeartWare as the standard of, by, and for we the people who stand up for the golden rule law language of the heart of every golden age civilization in cosmic history. And of course I'm referring to we the people in a universal sense, you know, the cosmic alliance that naturally represents all of us, united sovereigns of Earth. It's a global village now. You know, the family of man is living in a global village. There's no time or space. It's an instant, everywhere, interactive global village. And, you know, either we all hang together or we're all going to hang separately. You know, it's like we've come to that point where, you know, we need to get our act together, and here's to that process. So some will rise up, stand up, and salute this process of accelerated conscious evolution of global humanity at this time. And others, not so much. But this final stage of global evolution revolution is to naturally fulfill the divine destiny of America. Now, America as the anagram code, you know, the scrambled letters, if you scramble the letters of America, the code for it is the I am race. I am race. Worldwide. That's the gathering of the tribes of Israel, you know, all that is real in divine love, God, I am that I am, all that is real. In the spirit of I am, I can, I will, and by ordained grace, done deal, winning from the beginning of this evolution revolution. You know, this concept of America is not just the United States of America. It's really the I Am race worldwide. We're talking about the United Sovereigns of Earth, you know, the new U.S. It's in a global village, the family of man in a global village. So that's the quantum leap, you know, getting out of the box, you know, getting out of the paradigm paralysis. That's the larger reality and the potential with Heartware. How that would work, how it would involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness. This details that article, Quantum Computing. The link is there. You can go into that if you're interested. There's in-depth exploration of that concept. So what I'm saying is that there's a process to make it so, to make it happen, and it's not rocket science. Anyone can network for net worth. The new net reality of, by, and for we the people. This is the new net reality. This is the paradigm shift. You know, we the people in a global village, United Sovereigns of Earth, etc. So there's a video I provided in the article today. If you go down, there's three related videos. One of those videos is Your Network is Your Net Worth. It's 1 minute long. It's actually the trailer for a book that's called Your Network is Your Net Worth. It's the official book trailer. So if this is all sounding abstract to you, watch that 1 minute video as far as your network is your net worth. So the concept of networking for net worth, now I'm talking about the currency of conscience in a global village. That's a valid, real concept. So this process is the vision of virtue and valor that claims the victory for the United Sovereigns of Earth. Shift happens when our conscious evolution, kicks in. It shift happens, you know, global shift, this concept of global shift or this concept of we the people in a global village, that happens with our conscious evolution. And Heartware happens with this social conscience in our global social networks. You know, this culturing of social conscience in social networks is what Heartware does. And there's a way you can tune into that, see how it works, and just your understanding of this concept can be a catalyst for not only the uplifting and soul-soaring of your own spirit, you know, with the vision of what that means and what it will do for global civilization, but your own soul soaring will uplift the soul of the conscience of others. This is a fact of quantum reality, especially with galactic alignment this time and the surge in the source field and the thinning of the veil. As each soul rises, it brings up other souls in their vibratory, conscious, prevailing awareness, etc. So in the larger scheme of the soul's evolutionary ascent, the ordained power of love checks and balances the inordinate love of power. So you've got, you know, one is the shadow of the other. As there's more heart coherence, the power and the power of love, it checks and balances or otherwise neutralizes the inordinate love of power. You know, basically the corruption that we see in the world is people's love of power, money, you know, control, the inordinate love of power, that gets checked and balanced. And in the process, fearless faith neutralizes faithless fear. And one is the shadow of the other, again. Fearless faith is like the power of love. A fearless faith in the power of love neutralizes faithless fear, you know, for lack of love. So this is the divine destiny for humanity at this amazing time of mass awakening to the unprecedented opportunity for universal co-creation with the power of love in form and frequency. That's what Heartware goes into. Not only the frequency of the power of love in terms of heart coherence and unity conscience with heart coherence, but the form of the power of love, the form of spiritual geometry, geometrically ordered divinity, the mind of God, G-O-D, geometrically ordered divinity, as frames the love model, as frames the first principles of cosmic law, the archetypes of Jung, modern psychology, etc. And again, there's links and in-depth understanding there. As you grasp that and do soul soaring with that vision of the evolutionary ascent of global humanity, it brings up, it does the same, it creates a resonance in the field, the quantum field, that raises others, that it raises the prevailing awareness of others. I don't know how many of you have read the book, one of my favorite books called Power versus Force by Dr. David Hawkins, but he goes into that, how one person vibrating at a higher level, like 400, 500, he has a scale up to 1,000. And he talked about the masters and what at the higher level of scale where they are and where the prevailing awareness of the masses are around 200. And one person vibrating at, he's used behavioral kinesiology muscle testing with millions of people, with other people who do this, and they've done studies for like a decade, and found out that people that are vibrating at the higher level in their prevailing awareness are holding the balance for sometimes tens of thousands of people who are vibrating in a lower level. In other words, it's raising and it's holding the balance as far as they're raising in consciousness. So this concept at this time, Earth's divine destiny at this time was foreordained. It's all part of the cosmic cycles with this galactic alignment, this 25,920-year precession of the equinox of our solar system as it orbits up and across the galactic plane in a sine wave curve as it orbits around the galaxy, just as planets orbit around our sun. Our solar system orbits around the galaxy, and energetically, in different cycles, civilizations rise and civilizations fall. Atlantis rose half a cycle. Again, if you have a sine wave curve, it crosses twice in 25,800 years. Well, the last time Earth or solar system crossed the galactic plane was the rise of the ancient mythical civilization of Atlantis. Well, we're at that same point now. I mean, are we on the threshold of a millennial golden age for the next 1,000, 2,000 years? Well, what will spark that awareness? What will create a unity consciousness and a higher consciousness and universal co-creation among souls on this planet, you know, as the family of man in a global village? So this is what, you know, this is what the free, what Earth's divine destiny, I believe, is at this time. And it was foreordained as far as the cosmic cycles. And you've got the free will choice of millions, if not billions, of souls who are incarnated here now. And it was the choice when they came in, you know, to embodiment, it was to wake up, to wise up, and stand up for liberation of the purpose and plan that soul evolution serves. This is a healing process. This is what soul soaring is. It's a healing process. It's processing. And processing is how you get it, how you connect the dots with pure, and it's a function of the pure intention that focuses attention with love's retention for conscious ascension in the same freedom-loving dimension that sparked the American Revolution with common sense about 235 years ago. So just as Thomas Paine sparked the American Revolution with the most successful political pamphlet in history called Common Sense, so is global conscious evolution revolution now. And emphasizing 90% of the word revolution, which is evolution. This is what's happening in our global village now. You can say it's a computer internet revolution as a function of it, but it's more than that. It's between the lines. It's not virtual reality. There is a reality of conscious evolution to the point of conscience. As we become conscious of how we are conscious, this whole biofeedback thing with heart coherence and the biofeedback technology, you know, like on the smartphones, which actually shows when you're in the frequency of holy compassion or not, and what that means for the communication processes with 100 or 1,000 or 1,000,000 people at the same time. The vision alone of that can be the catalyst for a self-fulfilling prophecy. And this is the global revolution that's going on now. It's a healing process that involves multiple dimensions of common sense. So I'm going to go into this understanding of soul soaring and these multiple dimensions of common sense. For example, we are what we believe, you know, spiritual processing, having become what we believed. We are what we think, mental processing, having become what we thought. We are what we feel, you know, how we, emotional processing, having become what we felt. We are what we do, physical processing, having become what we did. We're not just what we do, you know, we're not just our profession, you know, we're just not whatever our job is. That's not all the only thing that we are, but whatever we believe, think, feel, and do, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically, cultures are conscious. This is true for individually as well as collectively. So this is conscious evolution processing, which involves and evolves our individual and collective common sense as the family of man and our all-connected global village of instant everywhere and interactive internet capabilities. In the soul's journey of eternal progression, spiritual laws govern without exception. One's soul knows, with humble confession, the invisible hands of divine intercession. In other words, this processing with our beliefs, thoughts, feelings, and actions is an endless loop of opportunity that recycles one's consciousness in the larger scheme of the eternal progression of the soul. What goes around comes around for both this life and all incarnations of the soul into flesh, ideally with the spirit that matters here on earth as in cosmos. We get what we ask for in the larger scheme of cause and effect that only love can redeem. As goes around, comes around sooner or later, and this cosmic law applies for lover or hater. In other words, whether we frame the conscious healing process with science or religion, there is a cycle of cause and effect, action, reaction, stimulus, and response, whereby we reap what we sow. This is the process of creation. You might say it's the process of the creator. And as creators, we co-create our reality. Earth is the platform for the evolution of souls. And there are soul lessons to be learned here. There is nothing extra, as I said before, about effective sensory perception when we co-create it. By inspiration, we strive to optimize aptitude. By inspiration, we rise up with better attitude. By grace, we soar to a much higher altitude. And as each soul ascends, it uplifts the multitude. Healing the global crisis in consciousness today is to heal our social, political, and economic institutions. Effective sensory perception connects all souls soaring on thermals of grace. And as each soul soars, it lifts the veil for all other souls, as I mentioned before. This evolutionary ascent process is now surging with the 25,920-year galactic alignment, which is optimizing the ultimate win-win with co-creation as soul soaring. It's like you've got the web of life, of all souls connected. And one way you can look at this is all souls connected through their smartphones or laptops or personal computers. But there's a web of light. There's a web of consciousness. There's an etheric web. There's the quantum web. Quantum computing speaks to that etheric web. But, you know, imagine a tight-drawn fishnet. And at each node of the fishnet, you know, there's an individual. Well, if you grab a hold of that fish, if that individual rises and you rise that node of the fishnet, the whole web rises. It just pulls everyone else up. That's an analogy of what's going on with the web of consciousness. In the East, they call that the Antahkarana, you know, the web of light, the web of consciousness. And really, the quantum field, the entire spirit of the great light brotherhood, you might say, the entire, you know, of all the cosmic beings, you know, angels, avatars, descended masters, cosmic beings, Elohim, self-known, undine, fiery Salomon, great cosmic beings you've got in this web of light. And we're in this dense physical octave. You know, we're just picking up, you know, a small part of the spectrum here. But as we become more conscious of how we are conscious with this soul-soaring process, with heartware really focuses, it makes congruent. It objectifies the process with heart coherence and mind congruence. This process is developed. It's evolved. So global evolution is the revolution that's beginning. The vision alone is a cause for much grinning. Cherish this time as the veil is now thinning. Hell may be disturbed, but heaven is winning. Every scientist that looks deeply within the universe and every mystic that looks deeply within the self eventually comes face to face with the same fundamental order of the universe that spirals the intelligence of the Creator into our hearts and minds. This is processing at the highest level. And ready or not, there are options now revealing, choices to be made that are quite appealing. Mysteries are unveiled, no longer concealing. Soul soaring with new opportunity congealing. So as co-creators on earth as in cosmos, we spiral upward in a conscientious way to the extent we process the stuff of our spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical creation. Now this is a natural law process, and this is really the heart of cosmic law or natural law that inspired U.S. founders with the same freedom and fearless faith as inspires global evolution for all of us united sovereigns of earth. So there are rules whereby Creator's intention is self-evident to those who focus attention above as below with great love's retention, wising up to rise up, conscious ascension in a unified field of co-creation dimension. So that's my reading on soul soaring. There's a great quote to finish this up. It's by Christine Page, MD. She's author of 2012 in the Galactic Center. She says, "Congratulations, you are among a select group of souls who won the lottery to be here on this planet at this time. The prize not only ensures you a front row seat, but also the unique opportunity to co-create the future of the human race. This is the time to remember." So this reading of Soul Soaring is from the article. I provided the link there at the top of the Cosmic Love homepage. There are three videos I provided, three related videos. I mentioned one of them, Your Network is Your Net Worth. That's 1 minute long. There is another video. It's called Inner Worlds, Outer Worlds, Part 2. It's 33 minutes. You can also get Part 1, Part 3, and Part 4, which are really amazing. But this is kind of like, I think it's a good gateway into the material as relates to what I'm talking about today. It's talking about, as a matter of fact, I'm going to finish up like with a meditation playing that the rest of the show. There's another video, the third video, The Problem and the Solution in 9 minutes. This is kind of a funny thing. It's kind of intense, but the guy makes an extraordinary point, goes into the we the people, the concept of we the people. He doesn't go into the global village things. He keeps it down to earth. But I think a lot of you will really appreciate that. He starts out kind of a strident tone, but he's basically saying don't play the blame game. You know, the blame game is off the track. He starts out by talking about how people blame, you know, the president, blame Congress, blame, you know, but it is off the track. You know, it's like the solution is beyond blame, the blame game. You know, once you get, you know, into the solution consciousness, the pleasure, pain, loss, gain, fame and shame, blame are all the same. I mean, it's just like you go beyond that, and it's love is forgiving. It's forgiving. I mean, it's like, you know, you can't get what you don't have, but when but the concept of what he's talking about in general, there's some good points made, so I included that video. I just ran across this last week. Some of you will really like it, others, you know, not so much. But anyway, for more of a spiritual vibe that I really wanted to kind of tune into, it's got some great points that you'll be able to pick up with the audio. I'm going to play this now. It's from Inner Worlds, Outer Worlds. It's part two. So I want to thank you all for listening to this point. Happy trails till we meet again. I'm grateful for those who share this show and material, links, videos with others, and look forward to be back with you here in a few weeks. Thanks so much. Bye-bye. Here's the video. Inner Worlds, Outer Worlds, Part 2.
The Pythagorean philosopher Plato hinted enigmatically that there was a golden key that unified all of the mysteries of the universe. It is this golden key that we will return to time and again throughout our exploration. The golden key is the intelligence of the Logos, the source of the primordial Om. One could say that it is the mind of God. With our limited senses, we are observing only the outer manifestation of the hidden mechanics of self-similarity. The source of this divine symmetry is the greatest mystery of our existence. Many of history's monumental thinkers, such as Pythagoras, Kepler, Leonardo da Vinci, Tesla, and Einstein, have come to the threshold of the mystery. Einstein said, "The most beautiful thing we can experience is the mysterious. It is the source of all true art and science. He to whom this emotion is a stranger, who can no longer pause to wonder and stand wrapped in awe, is as good as dead. His eyes are closed. We are in the position of a little child entering a huge library filled with books in many different languages. The child knows someone must have written those books. It does not know how. It does not understand the languages in which they are written. The child dimly suspects a mysterious order in the arrangement of the books, but doesn't know what it is. That, it seems to me, is the attitude of even the most intelligent human being toward God. We see a universe marvelously arranged and obeying certain laws. Our limited minds cannot grasp the mysterious force that moves the constellations. Every scientist who looks deeply into the universe, and every mystic who looks deeply within the self, eventually comes face to face with the same thing. Primordial spiral. Creation of the ancient observatory at Stonehenge, the spiral was a predominant symbol on Earth. Ancient spirals can be found in all parts of the globe. Thousands of ancient spirals such as these can be found all over Europe, North America and New Mexico, Utah, Australia, China, Russia, virtually every indigenous culture on Earth. The ancient spirals symbolize growth, expansion, and cosmic energy, embodied within the sun and the heavens. The spiral form is mirroring the macrocosm of the unfolding universe itself. In native traditions, the spiral was the energetic source, the primordial mother, The Neolithic spirals at Newgrange, Ireland date back 5,000 years. They are 500 years older than the Great Pyramid of Giza, and they are just as enigmatic to modern observers. The spiral goes back to a time in history when humans were more connected to the Earth, to the cycles and spirals of nature, a time when humans were less identified with thoughts. The spiral is what we perceive to be the torque of the universe. Prana, or creative force, swirls Akasha into a continuum of solid forms. Found at all levels between the macrocosm and the microcosm, from spiral galaxies to weather systems, to the water in your bathtub, to your DNA, to the direct experience of your own energy. The primordial spiral is not an idea, but rather that which makes all conditions and ideas possible. Various types of spirals and helices are found throughout the natural world. Snails. Sea coral. Spiderwebs. Horse's tail, and shells. Many spirals appearing in nature are observable as logarithmic spirals or growth spirals. As you move out from the center, the spiral sections get exponentially larger. Like Indra's net of jewels, logarithmic spirals are self-similar or holographic, such that the characteristics of every part are reflected in the whole. 2,400 years ago in ancient Greece, Plato considered continuous geometric proportion to be the most profound cosmic bond. The golden ratio, or divine proportion, was nature's greatest secret. The golden ratio can be expressed as the ratio of A plus B to A is the same as the ratio of A to B. To Plato, the world soul binds together into one harmonic resonance. The same pentagonal pattern that exists in a starfish or in a slice of okra can be seen in the path of the planet Venus, traced in the night sky over an 8-year period. Intelligible world of forms above and the visible world of material objects below through this principle of geometric self-similarity. From the self-similar spiral patterns of the Romanesco broccoli to the arms of galaxies, logarithmic spirals are a ubiquitous and archetypal pattern. Our own Milky Way galaxy has several spiral arms which are logarithmic spirals with a pitch of about 12 degrees. The greater the pitch of the spiral, the tighter the turns. When you observe a plant growing in time-lapse video, you witness it dancing with the spiral of life. Thank you. A golden spiral is a logarithmic spiral that grows outward by a factor of the golden ratio. The golden ratio is a special mathematical relationship that pops up over and over in nature. The pattern that is observable follows what is called the Fibonacci series, or Fibonacci sequence. The Fibonacci series unfolds such that each number is the sum of the previous two numbers. The German mathematician and astronomer Kepler discovered that self-similar spiral patterns are observable in the way leaves are arranged on stems of plants, or in the floret and petal arrangements of flowers. Leonardo da Vinci observed that the spacing of leaves was often in spiral patterns. These patterns are called phyllotaxis patterns, or leaf arrangement patterns. Phyllotaxis arrangements can be seen in self-organizing DNA nucleotides. And in everything from the family trees of reproducing rabbits to pine cones, cacti, to snowflakes and in simple organisms such as diatoms. Diatoms are one of the most common types of phytoplankton, single-celled organisms that provide food for countless species throughout the food chain.